Okay, well, that was the excitement, I'm afraid. We'll show this video, and after a little while, we'll talk over it. I went around taking pictures one day of the show floor and edited those together, took out the really crappy ones, so you can guess what those would have looked like by seeing what's left. And put a recorder in my pocket and walked around at a separate time, I think, and recorded a bunch of snippets of conversation and stuff and randomly edited that to take out the bumping and stuff so that you won't hear that. So these are two pieces of things that are totally irrelevant to each other that are pasted together, and there's one moment that comes together in an awesome way about 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes in that you'll see. And after that, we'll start talking over it and give our impressions of what we saw there. We could talk over this part, too. This is the Javits Center. That's downstairs. There's a pigeon right behind that table flying through there. No, it was a pigeon. The rat was also. Say what? How many attendees? 15,563 as of Friday. It was real crowded. And this is the NAB co-convention that we could walk through, and it was fascinating to be in there because they have a lot better stuff than we have, by and large. It's way more expensive, and the booths were way bigger and lots of lighting and stuff. I thought that cart was real cool. TV cameras, it's wireless, and displays. Here's me in the camera picture there. Lots of IBM stuff. These guys had some cool LED panels and big displays, big video displays. Those are all little walls that molt together into big and huge resolution, great resolution. Marker Tech had this little car that was fitted out with a bunch of screens in it and gaff tape. Big deals were made there. These guys are local in Auburn. I talked with them about coming to talk to us. So here's the good part.
Don't take too much money.
Don't make too much money, that guy said.
Does
Electric Ladyland still exist? Does somebody else want to talk during this? Because this is not going to get much different than this. That was a video display that was showing solid video, but when I took the picture, it was only that was lit up. This is one of those sky cam things that's on the football stadiums, on the wires. It was floating around the B&H booth. You can see the view on the right screen. This is all still the NAB stuff. That was fascinating. Now we're back in the audio world. That's this DPA headset that doesn't weigh anything. Yeah. When people were playing in booths like this and singing, and it was noisy. But again, this is not coordinated, the picture and sound. Big consoles. That's the Audio History Library and Museum. And this is Bill Hanley, who did sound at Woodstock. And he was taking apart the Shure 55. I was talking to him, and he was pointing out the features of it. Steve Lampin from Belden.
You need a different product for that. It's a valid application. I do it sometimes. Most of the time, I don't do that.
Seminars all over the place. Knobs and sliders. You know that? Lots of analog stuff still, as well as digital. A lot of people. That, I think, was Friday. Was Friday. I bought some of those geek gloves. Used them today for the first time. Not sure what that was. This is the Pultec Equalizer, the modern version. And these are pictures of the insides, the old versus the new. And they look pretty much the same. I talked to the guy, and he did an amazing job of sussing the thing out and building it exactly like it was. He bought all the inventory. He bought all the parts and all the inventory that the original guy had.
What else?
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
He had access to each
piece. Huh. To measure it, to see how it compared. And he found that there was a transformer problem. He had to have the transformers built. And they wound them one way one time and another way another time, and they were performed differently. So he had to get them to do it exactly the same. Wow. Yeah, it seemed to be really precisely done. It was really cool.
It took a while to adapt to.
Lots of classes and different stuff all over the place. Tom Durr from Soundcraft. That's the end. Yeah. anybody want to talk about their experience there? As a presenter, it was fascinating for me to give my talk. A lot of you came to my talk last month.
It was very good.
Thank you. And it went through 7 or 8 revisions by the time I gave it, so it was considerably different from what you saw. Which, it turned out that I didn't have to fit into 1.5 hours. So I got to go about 1.75 hours. Which is almost as long as we went here. And there were a bunch of people who were in 30th Street who were there, and some other people who seemed to be pretty heavy hitters who came to it, who were really interested in it. And they hung around afterwards and said, I have to write a book about this. And, you know, what I presented might fit into a book, okay. And it was... I wasn't nervous with you guys, but I was really nervous there. So that was interesting. And it was a blast. I spent the whole week working on it. And on Monday of the week, I spent the afternoon with this guy who was a photo masterer. did photo mastering, which is similar to audio mastering, apparently, but with photos. So he's a Photoshop guy. And I don't know if you remember the picture of Thelonious Monk in the studio where the monitors are there and the console was here and we're looking through. And we noticed that there are some little logos on two of the speakers. So he said, oh, well, let me look at that. And so he went, I mean, you know, the logos were like this in the picture, tiny, 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 and he blew it up to be a quarter of the picture. And you could see this thing that kind of looked, and he messed with it, and you could see this thing that looked like an A with a circle over it. And so I took some pictures of his screen and went back and looked up online, and it looked like the Angstrom symbol, which is wavelength. So I looked online, and there's a company called speaker company called Angstrom, but they didn't come into existence until quite a bit later than the studio was. So I sent it to Chin on, I posted it in my thread, and nobody said anything, so I sent it to Chin on Tuesday night, and in about an hour or so, he sent back, well, it kind of looks like the old JBL logo, which was a circle with a triangle above it. And I took that and reversed the colors, so black was white and white was black, and turned it upside down and shrunk it and put it next to those things, and damn if it didn't look exactly like what that was. And so then the morning of my talk, likely those were JBL monitors of some sort. And Rick had sent me some catalogs, too, of that time. And there was some boxes that looked very similar, but not quite the same. And the one that looked the closest to me, you bought the box and then put whatever components you wanted into it with some kind of adapter kit that JBL sold. Well, that's kind of weird. So then the morning of my talk, I looked in my thread, and this guy said, gee, that looks like the JBL logo. And I didn't post what Rick had sent in the thread. And another guy posted a picture of two speakers that looked exactly like the ones in the picture, because there was, you could see clearly one of them had a crease in the middle, so the grill looked like that from the side. It wasn't flat like a normal grill would be. And he found the model number of it, the C34, and it has a 8-foot folded horn for the bass in it, in that 36-inch tall cabinet, and it was exactly the right thing. So even the morning of my talk, things changed. So it was a gas. It was a really cool experience to be part of it, and I have Bob to thank for letting me do that, really. So,
well, we have you to thank.
Oh, well, you're welcome. It's been a fun project, and it was really fun to share it with people. And there's a recording forum on the Pro Sound web, and I posted that I'm going to be doing this, and if anybody has a place where I could do something, I'd be happy to go do it. And if you ever heard of Fletcher, who was the mercenary audio guy, he now owns a pub up in Suffern, New York, which is about an hour away from New York City on the train line. And he said, well, he's the moderator of the recording forum still on ProSound Web. And he said, well, I've got this pub, and you're welcome to come by on Sunday if you want. And I said, well, great. You know, I'd be happy to do that. And how do we get somebody to come out to Suffern, New York to come see this? And nobody from that forum responded. I put it up in my thread on Steve Hoffman, and one guy said, yeah, I'd like to come. And then he and I talked, and I figured, well, God, if there's two guys there, that'd be fine. This gives me rehearsals. So I got up early on Sunday and went out to Suffern, New York, and he's got this cool pub. It's like an Irish pub with some cool food, and he had a 75-inch TV that we HDMI'd into. And when the time came, Tom Fine showed up, who's the son of Bob Fine, and the wife, Yeah.
Every living presence recorded.
And it was Bob and
Wilma
Fine, who are famous recording people. And Tom is totally into that stuff and gave a talk the day before mine about early two-channel
stereophony
is what he gave the talk
history
about.
Of
history of stereophony with a tone arm that had two needles.
Right.
And it was fascinating.
Emory Cook. Emory Cook, interesting character. I actually have some of his, not stereo, his mono recordings. He recorded things like the Queen Mary's horn and sounds of the sea, you know, stuff like that. Very unusual sort of sound, you know, some stuff, but that's what he did. He did them in binaural using the Livingston Army. We'd play those at the New York Hi-Fi shows. And we all said, oh, okay, you know. Stereo? Well, binaural? Huh? Who cares? I wanted to mention another thing. You mentioned when you talked, the guy who published the book with all the pictures of the famous musicians. I can't remember his name now. Yeah. Well, it turns out the library has his book, so I put it on hold. So I haven't gotten it yet, but I think they have a couple of copies.
Good. And just in case you remember, I brought that book after it first came out, and I put it at the back of the meetings for a while. And it's a great, great book. So Tom Fine came, and Dominic Costanzo, who is a tech at Battery Studios, which has hosted me back there before, came. And there was a lot of stuff about the Ampex things. Ampex recorders in my talk, and those guys went nuts about the Ampex stuff. And I don't know if you remember that one machine that was 16 electronics on 1-inch tape, and the deal with that was that Don Meehan, who was in the picture, was a super overdubber and did all kinds of overdubbing stuff to make effects. And he had that recorder made for him with 16... a 1-inch head with 16 tracks on it, and that was the Tascam's later standard, but he had that machine 10 years or more before Tascam had the standard, and he took that machine with him when he left Sony or Columbia CBS, and still has it apparently, and he's the world's record holder for overdubbed stuff with 200 or 400 or something overdubs.
I think I have a link somewhere to one or two of his recordings.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. They're very deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I talked to Tom Fiennes again too.
Yeah.
Tom to release all that Mercury stuff on three channels.
Release Mercury stuff on three channels.
On three channel recording.
That's right. Right.
And I would love to have three channels.
Wow. Okay. Okay. I'll tell him Renee
so
said
much
that.
Better than
and actually, Rick talks to him a lot, too. Okay,
thank
so.
You, that's great.
Thank you. Yeah, it's getting, it's past time here. Does anybody else want to talk about it?
Do you want to talk about how your part was?
My part is just pain and suffering. Not sure there's anything interesting from my perspective. Just putting something like that together is just nuts, you know.
So was the show a success?
It was a huge success, yeah. I mean, we did a lot of experimentation this year that, you know, you never know how things are going to go, but the partnership with NAB was probably the biggest experiment. But you probably saw in the pictures we had a bar on the floor serving beer. Did we get a cut? Of the bar? I'm just hoping the bar paid for itself. I mean, it's crazy doing events in New York in the Javits because we pay about close to $1 million between the building and the labor.
Yeah.
And it's all mafia and, you know, don't piss them off because you'll be swimming on the Hudson. So we have to, you know, really make a lot of money just to break even and come out of that hole financially. But yeah, we did well. We had the biggest registration income we've ever done. You know, I can share these numbers. You know, we're nonprofit, but you know, normally we do in the low 300,000s for paid badges, and this time we did 450,000, which was great. And the so all the numbers were up. The exhibitors were excited. We had like every rock star you can. I mean, Stevie Wonder was there, and all the producer engineer superstars were there. Mixed with the Masters was there, and they were just a huge crowd the whole time.
Did anyone go over to NAB?
Yeah, NAB was closed. Dan said I went shopping over there myself because I want to start live streaming section meetings. And it turns out that Roland is huge in the sort of portable video world, and their marketing and PR guy is Robert Klein, who's ours and the recording academies and Genelec and Bose, and so we're all hooked up now. We'll hopefully have one of those. In fact, the marketing manager for that Roland product line lives in Bellingham, so he's going to bring some gear down, and we're going to live stream one of our next meetings.
Hopefully that next meeting, which is November 15th from 7:30 to 10:30 in Raid Hall, room 121.
So that might be a challenge, Greg Dixon, only because aren't there two locations, like two auditoriums he's going to use, the big one and the small one?
Yeah, that is correct. There will be some demonstrations that are happening in studio spaces.
Doesn't mean you can't do it, but it's the, just something.
Yeah, but the main lecture will take place in Raid Hall, room 121.
Okay.
Wow.
Where and when is NAMM and our ABS Go participation?
Well, I know where it is. It's in Anaheim. When? January. It's like, the second or third weekend, typically. I don't know the exact dates.
It's on our calendar.
You can Google it. And yeah, again, I don't know if registration's gone live yet for our thing, but as an AS member, you'll be able to get a badge. Late January. And yeah, 25 for the NAMM badge, but then to do whatever we're doing, that's going to be an extra charge.
January 25 to 28.
Yeah. There you go. And it should be crazy. Keith left. Keith's on the committee. But what we're trying to do is, instead of just the same old thing year after year, we're trying to innovate a little bit and do different stuff and join with other organizations. And yeah, I mean, I could talk all night about that.
But it's late.
But it's late, and I have to catch a ferry, so I'm going to split here.
Oh my God. Yep.
All right. So thanks to Dan for coming out, though. It was heartbreaking.
Thanks to Stephen for tonight's meeting.
Wonderful.
Thanks to Stephen for tonight's meeting. Well done.
Thank you.